Welcome to Scare My Best Friend to Death, where we answer the only true horror question. Will my best friend survive this movie? Join our hosts, Crystal, an avid horror enthusiast since she was a small child, and Katie, who has to sleep with a light on after watching anything remotely scary, as they discuss the best horror movies Crystal can make Katie watch.
Hi, I'm Crystal.
And I'm Katie.
And welcome to Scare My Best Friend to Death. For this week, we are covering the 2008 horror film, The Strangers. It's directed by Brian Bertino, starring Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman. It is currently available at the time of this recording on Netflix. So, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen it, you've had like 17 years, almost 17 years. What are you doing with your life? Go watch. If you haven't seen it, go watch it and come back. Trigger warnings. There's sex. There's nudity. There's home invasion, profanity. And there are some very intense scares in this one. So if that's not your jam, we completely understand. Spread us around. Share with your family and friends. Maybe we can terrorize them instead of you. So without further ado, let's talk about The Strangers. Now, Katie, we watched this movie together not that long after it came out on video, because we rented it with a few other movies. But I remember watching this movie for the first time ever at your house.
Yeah, I have no recollection of this at all.
Which a lot of movies we've seen together that kind of fall into a horror movie. That's always your go-to. I don't remember. So you immediately blocked this shit.
Yes, I did.
From your memory, which is hilarious.
And which is odd because I liked it when I watched it a week ago.
Did you have to stop this one at all?
You know, I only had to pause it once, and that was so I could go take care of some business and come back. But I didn't have to pause it. No, of course, I was also watching it around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the lights were on, the sun was out. I had some snacks and I was good.
You know, I'm thinking that this movie and the topic that this movie kind of covers, I would think at any time of the day that you watch it, it's going to kind of spook you, especially if you are at home and you're viewing this one.
Or, you know, out in the middle of the country by yourself, like I was.
I grew up out in the middle of the country, so I don't know that scenario would, you know, cause spookies for me. But how long through this movie did your hair stay at attention, like on the back of your neck or on your arms? Were you like weirded out or anything?
You know, when they kept knocking at the door, I was like, don't, something's not right. Something's not right. You or know, anytime they try and go outside, I was like yelling at the TV, what are you thinking?
Yeah, you know, for me, when they kept knocking at the door, I was like, yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses, let's hide. Because that's what my mom made us do. She's like, no, we're not answering the door. Just go hide. So, like, one of the questions that I have down, do you think this movie scarred millennials? And when somebody knocks at the door, is that why we hide?
Between that and the masks? Yeah. And, you know, I really kind of felt sad for the cell phone because, you know, at one point in the movie when Liv Tyler's looking for a cell phone, I had that exact phone.
Now you're just aging yourself, ma'am.
Oh, gosh. It wasn't my first cell phone either.
Speaking of Liv Tyler, this was one of her leading breakout roles. She was in Empire Records, and that's really where she got her start. Before this, she was in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Mm-hmm. So we really get to see her, you know, in the forefront being a badass I mean, she kind of starts out whiny and everything, but she really quickly goes into badass mode. Now, events kick off in this movie because they are at a friend's wedding, and Scott Speedman's character proposes to Liv Tyler, and she tells him no. And you can tell this is the house that they go to with Scott Speedman's like childhood summer home. Must be nice. And you can tell he was expecting a yes. There are roses, you know, leading up to the bed, on the nightstand, leading to the bathroom. This man had bound chicka wow wow all planned out. He just knew he had clinched the bag and she was going to say yes. And she absolutely was like, no, sir.
Not ready.
So he calls his friend Mike and says, hey, can you come pick me up? Because this ain't working. And Mike's
She
like,
first
yeah.
fall hard.
Yeah. Mike's like, yeah, whatever. I'll be there. But, you know, my thought process is if it's a no, you're at the wedding reception, which people, please listen to me when I tell you nobody wants to be proposed at someone else's wedding. That's tacky. Please don't do it. If you have plans to do that, do not do it. Don't. That's just nasty. That's just gross. And that's you being an attention whore. Stop. So my thought process would be if you've proposed and she said no, why would you even continue to the childhood home anyway? Why wouldn't you be like, that's all right. We're just gonna go right on back to where we came from, drive through the night, whatever. Why would you even put yourself in this position?
Well, he did say that her bag was at the house and it had her clothes in it.
You know, at that point, we could have come back later, or we could have just ran in, picked up my bag, and kept on trucking.
Yeah, so
Like,
she didn't even have to see it to feel guilty.
right, like this,
And
you know, whole movie could have been avoided had they just been like, yeah, you said no, let's go.
right. And but I
Or
did have
left
to
with
laugh.
different people from the wedding.
I did have to laugh though that he's all in his feelings and hurt, and I mean she's upset about it too, but he's the one that pulls out the giant tub of ice cream and starts eating it.
You know, men's got feelings too.
She's sitting in the tub. I wonder, like, I didn't notice, but I wonder, did she take the rose petals out and like throw them away?
But she's sitting in the tub and
Like,
the rose petals are still there floating around her.
okay. Yeah, I didn't really pay that much attention to that part. I remember I was just thinking, like, wait a minute, isn't she supposed to be the one with the ice cream? But she's not the one with the broken heart.
No, she's the one in charge of the situation.
Yes. I kind of laughed how it took the friend what felt like 3 hours to get there.
Right. Like,
And
you know, how good of a friend is that? Because, like, my friend call me and say, hey, I need to be picked up. Bitch, I'm going to be there probably 20 minutes because I speed.
right. Especially if you know things went south on a situation like that.
Right. So
And
he was gonna get picked up by his friend Mike. I shouldn't assume, but I'm going to assume he's leaving her the vehicle and being like, bitch, get yourself back.
It's 4 in the morning, and then somehow after the shower, for some reason she's still, or the bath, she puts the dress back on because it makes her feel pretty.
Yeah.
And even though she just said no, broke his heart, they still wind up about to have sex in the living room.
Well, you know, you gotta have that makeup sex. It's kind of like she wants to be with him, but she doesn't want to be tied down to him. So let me bounce it around. Wow, we already got the rose petals everywhere. So, you know, and candles. We're gonna burn this motherfucker down.
And he's all brokenhearted looking, sitting at the table. But then all of a sudden, they're interrupted. And as after the interruption, they're like, okay, well, that's over with. Now I need cigarettes.
Right, yeah.
And like, it's 4 in the morning. What? fuck do you need a cigarette for? Just go to bed.
They can't go to bed till they get their cigarette.
Oh my gosh.
Did you have to sleep with the light on after watching this one?
No.
I'm proud of you.
Well, I did have a light in the hallway on since I was at a, I was house sitting and there are cats and the cats like to move furniture around. Well, like the rugs, and I didn't want to trip and fall and break anything or
Including
myself.
yourself.
Yeah. You know, I did like that night after this movie, nobody better knock on that door. Or I am
Yeah,
out that door and out to the horse pasture to get a horse and leave this place.
I think what makes this movie so scary or suspenseful or gives you that queasy, uneasing feeling in the stomach is that at the beginning, there's a screen that pops up and says, this is based on a true story. So the writer of this film based it on the Manson murders and a string of murders that happened in his subdivision when he was young. This movie also kind of feels like it could happen to you.
Yeah.
This is not a far-fetched plot or, anything that happens in this movie. It's not very far-fetched. All of this could happen. And I think that that's why, a lot of people really like this movie.
It didn't require a lot of special effects. It didn't, like, it was down to the actors to do their job. And,
Right. And you have two people at the center of the movie carrying that movie until our villains are presented. And then it's just three people. So until Mike shows up, it's a five-person cast. Then we have that sixth person. This is a small cast. And this is 2008, so we can't say that this was because of COVID or anything. They chose a small cast. They had a small cast because of what the story is.
Right from the beginning, after the first knock on the door, you know, the first thought that goes through my head is, you know, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't answer the door at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Y'all better have $1 million, and Joe Manganiello. That's the only way I'm opening the door at 4 in the morning. How dare you?
You know, I mean, the Backstreet Boys better be on the other side of that door. When the door opens, they turn the light on and the light doesn't come on. So you can't see her face. It adds to that. Okay, who the hell are you and what are you doing on my porch? Like,
Right.
what was it? Tamara?
Yeah,
Was that the name? Yeah.
she wanted Tamara,
Tamara.
Tamara.
And I'm thinking, you know, you should be able to figure out something ain't right with this chick because you're not
Right,
just going
call the
randomly.
cops.
Right. I mean, well, you got to still have the cell phone on the charger and it's working. When he realizes that the light bulb was just unscrewed, that should have been another clue
Yeah, that should
that
have been
something's going on.
right. I got to call the popo.
But no, we have to go get our cigarettes.
Of course.
There's all this champagne in buckets around the house. He's drunk. He's probably had what, half a bottle easily.
Yeah.
Takes it with him and then gets in the car to drive. 'Cause you know, nothing bad's gonna happen then.
Never.
And then you see her sitting in front of the fireplace with the dress that she's got on. I'm thinking, sweetheart, that thing, if the slightest little thing happens and that dress is gonna catch on fire and melt to your skin.
Yeah, it did look like it was a polyester rayon kind of
Yes.
blend, and that shit's not going anywhere. You're gonna have new purple skin.
Right. Then we finally decide that the dress doesn't make us pretty enough anymore. And instead of putting on pajamas, we put on jeans and a flannel shirt at 4 in the morning.
Maybe she doesn't sleep in pajamas, so maybe there was no
Well,
pajamas packed. So
this is true.
maybe
Especially if
that,
he packed her bag. He did, probably
right.
didn't account for pajamas. But then, you know, you've got all the champagne all over the place. And she's been drinking champagne, but then she goes and gets a Corona out of the fridge. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sticking with the champagne. Because if I have to choose between champagne and a Corona, there's really no choice there to be made.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's the kind of taste you have, no wonder she turned down Mr. Hottie McHottie Pants. That just shows you have really poor taste.
maybe she was just holding out for something better,
I
or
don't know.
maybe she already had one foot out the door.
Maybe. I do like, though, how she did deadbolt at when she's there by herself and the person comes back and she's like, you were just here. There is no Tamara here. And she
Right.
deadbolts the door. I'm like, okay, we're getting a little smart about this.
Right. You're going to deadbolt it, but then you're going to be like, oh, this person has come back a second time. I'm still not going to call the damn cops.
No. And then you hear those, like, the wind chimes kick up. I'm like, oh, no. Thanks to Twister, those things freak me out.
How high did you jump once it shot and turned around and you can see the man in the doorway?
Oh, all I can say is I'm glad I was not holding my drink at that point because it'd have been all over me and the cat sitting behind me.
I'm surprised I did not wet myself when that happened, because I mean I can tolerate a lot of stuff in horror movies, but when jump scares happen, it doesn't matter if it's the most telegraphed jump scare, I'm a jump. And David always laughs at me. He's like, we saw that coming. I'm like, yeah, I know we saw it coming. I'm still jumping. Like, it's a reflex.
Yeah, for the rest of the time though, the whole movie, I was like, okay, something's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna pop up in the window. Like, I had to tell myself, I'm like, something's going to happen. So I would be somewhat prepared for jump scares. So the next times that it did happen, I was prepared for it, but it still got me. I just didn't jump as much.
Yeah, I think probably also with all of the champagne bottles around the house, that champagne bottle would have been a really good weapon.
Right?
Either the cork or the whole bottle itself.
Open it up and aim it at them.
This
Let
house,
that cork
though,
fly.
this house is their summer home. It is the Scott Speedman's character's summer home. This movie came out in 2008, mind you. Why does this house still look like it's stuck in the 70s?
Because it's a summer home and they all look like that. Right?
I don't know. I would think that they would have come up with like something better than this hideous fucking wallpaper. Now
This is true.
the doors are nice.
Yeah.
Front doors are
They're
very nice.
very sturdy too. They held up to a lot.
Yeah.
But,
And
yeah, and then
I'm wondering, since we know that the writer based part of this on the Manson murders, if the decor in the house was also inspiration. But you
yeah.
could have picked something else.
It kind of made me feel like I was like in a time warp almost, or that they were staying at grandma's house.
Yeah.
And then, the knocking starts back up and she's all by herself. Don't go to the door. Just don't do it. Just sit in the corner of a room where nobody can find you, like the closet that she was in at one point, the pantry and the kitchen, where nobody can find you. Your phone has charged enough for you to call 911.
Right. And I do have to tell people that this was back in the day where, you had e-location services, but they were new. So it's not like now where, like with the iPhones, if it goes dead and there was an emergency, the iPhone's still going to send your location. This, if your phone went dead, it was just a brick. Like, it's not sending crap to anybody.
Nope, and it is not going to turn on for at least 20 minutes after you put it on the charger.
Right, because there were no lightning chargers
No.
for
And
those phones.
it really felt like it took all night for it to charge. Yeah, as she's moving through the house and then she realizes like she put her phone on charge. We all saw it. Well,
Right.
if you saw the movie, you saw it. And she goes back and the phone's not there. Then something messes up with the flue in the fireplace.
Yeah,
And
the flue wasn't open, so she was trying to open it, and then the smoke alarm went off, the fire alarm went off, so then she's trying to get it.
she goes to change and comes back, and that's where the cell phone is missing. And the fire alarm is not on the floor anymore. It's in the chair she stood on. At that point, I'm sorry. I don't care if I have a vehicle. I'm getting the hell up on out of there.
Right, I don't care where the keys are. Don't care about the car.
Like,
Something
they are
happened.
just trying, you know, somebody's coming after you at that point. And then I had to stop. I was like, wait a minute. She's out of cigarettes. But did you notice all of a sudden she had a cigarette?
Yeah,
And he ain't had.
we're gonna say the continuity director was not continuity key. Right.
Or did she just say she was out of cigarettes to get him out of the house?
Well, she didn't pack her bag.
Oh, that's true. So she
And
probably didn't know there were any.
he's probably so tipsy he doesn't realize he packed her a pack. Which at that point, ma'am, just get you some nicotine gum and call it a day.
Just barricade yourself inside a room that you're pretty protected in, and you're not going to get out until you hear the police showing up. Going out and looking is what's causing the trouble.
Right. You know better than, you hear a strange cat sound and you don't own a cat, but yet you're going to go ahead and go search for that cat.
Right. I mean, like
You
the
deserve to die at
psychological,
that point.
yeah, the psychological warfare being played at this point is it is on point. The constant terror of somebody knocking on your door every few minutes,
Thanks.
and then like rotating between knocking on it and then random thuds, and
Yeah.
then periods of quiet just long enough to make you think, okay, maybe they left. Like the weird grinding noises that you heard outside the door. Like,
Yeah.
no, not happening. Just that alone would terrorize a person. And then you throw in all the other stuff. But then I'm thinking, how do you get somebody in there to move that stuff and then get them out without anybody noticing?
Very
And
quietly.
you know, when the man in the mask pops up, it made me laugh when Jamie's like, "So what kind of mask were they wearing?" "I don't know. It was a fucking mask."
Right. Like, I'm
It's
sorry, I didn't get a
like,
license plate for you.
right. I didn't pay attention to the details.
I'm trying to
So,
live here. I want to live.
and then right after that, you're like, "Oh crap!" You see the cell phone. What, the cell phone is in the fire.
Right. Which lithium battery in fire. Big boom. Big bada boom.
Right. In reality,
Don't throw your
unless they
phone in
took
the
it out of the
fire.
attic. Yeah, the fire would have gotten them all.
I like how she was smart enough when she heard like knocking and stuff, and she was in the kitchen. And she was like, "Let me go ahead and grab a knife." And she tries to call 911, but you've had so many things that have happened before this. You could have called 911 way before we got to this point.
Why are we just now thinking of this?
Or why do we all of a sudden just now feel threatened?
When he goes back outside and the car windows are smashed, like that was not how that car looked just a few minutes ago. I'm thinking to myself, you know, you see all of this. I'm like, yeah, I believe I'd say, fuck it. Let's get in the car and go. Everything else can wait. And
Right.
just get out of there. You don't stop for people that come in front of your car or behind them, you run them over and you get out of there. Not
Right.
that I'm endorsing violence or anything, but
You're endorsing self-defense in a sensible
survival.
manner. Like someone
Right.
pop out at you, so sad, too bad, you about to be roadkill.
I'm certainly not gonna just stick my head in when all this other crap is going on to turn the car off and grab the keys. I'm gonna get my whole body in the car. I don't care if I'm sitting on the glass. Well, at that time, it might have cut through pants. But now that type of glass won't cut through like that.
You know, I will take my chances. A couple of cuts and some scrapes on my butt. I'm good. Let's go.
I'm still alive.
How did you feel about them running to the barn and back from the barn, and just it's
I thought.
almost like everything they could have done or should have done, they didn't. And it's frustrating.
And then everything they shouldn't have done, they did.
Right.
Like leave the house. The point where she's going through and making sure all the windows and doors are locked and shut, that should have been the first thing they did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how many times did you make sure all your doors were locked after watching this?
All of them, at least once, maybe twice, because I was out in the middle of the nowhere in a newer environment all by my lonesome. With the psychological warfare, the taunting and the terrifying that they knew they were doing, and they were doing it in a way where it was like a hide and seek game. And those type of killers were getting their jollies off with the psychological trauma that they knew they were inflicting. And to them, it was a game. So then, to me, that makes it more terrifying because it is so realistic. You realize that there's no escaping this.
Right, like you've let them in. How do you think that the guy got in the first place? Because surely he's the one who let everybody else in.
I'm thinking that they knew the house to begin with, and
Yeah, well, they probably cased it.
that they were able to get in through an unlocked window, or maybe the back door wasn't deadbolted, that they were able to sneak in somewhere that she hadn't thought to check before they had already gotten in. Looking at that, it made me stop, and I'm like, okay. Just from these, you can't really tell during this part if there's more than just three, but we find out it is just three. These three people, like I was thinking, like some textbooks will tell you, there are four types of serial killers and that they each have their own type. Well, like while I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, so you have hedonistic, where everything is about pleasure. That's not what we're dealing with here. And you have like the visionary, like, oh, God told me to do it. Or I have to do this so that we all make it wherever. Usually that's pretty self-explanatory, but again, not what we're dealing with here. And then you have the other two main types. You have a mission-oriented and a power control-oriented. And these three people seem to be a combination of those last two. It's almost like the man is the one that's mission and power control oriented, and the other two are just along for the ride. Like they're there to do his bidding.
Right. Yeah, and I that's
And
probably the inspiration from the Manson murders.
yeah.
That's
And
probably some of that.
usually those are the ones that provoke the most stressful environments for the victims. And if the victim is lucky enough to survive, they're not going to be beyond fucked up for the rest of their life or, however long they have left. And then I just had to laugh because, while I'm thinking of all of this, they get the shotgun and they're in the bedroom. Because all of a sudden, oh, yeah, my uncle had a gun. Or uncle or dad or whoever it was had a gun. And I'm from the South. And when he said, I don't know how to use it, I'm like, really, dude? How do you not know how to use a shotgun? I mean, to me, that's just like self-explanatory. I mean, I have used a shotgun before, but even not having used a shotgun, I would still know what to do. Like, I could figure it out easily.
Right, you just gotta hope you put the shells in it correctly.
And I'm thinking to myself, good Lord, this man is, Mr. Hottie McHottie Pants just lost a few hot points because he's so citified, he can't figure out how to use a shotgun. And then I laugh because, like, let's just blast a hole in the door and make it easier for him to get in.
Right, and poor Mike.
Oh.
Mike's just caught in the crossfire.
Yeah. And I mean,
Wrong
the.
place, wrong time.
Right. And at that point, I'm like, okay, poor Mr. Hottie Pants is going to have to die because he's not going to be able to handle the fact that he just killed his best friend
Right.
who took 3 hours to show up. I did, when the music came on, my first thought was, all right, if that had been John Denver, I'd have been out of there. Like, I really honestly expected John Denver to come on because
You
that's the
got
kind
flashbacks
of
back
setting.
to Final Destination.
I mean, that's the setting. You're in the country. I'm like, and there's a actual record player that looks like it's from the 70s. I was expecting John Denver and a little disappointed that it wasn't John Denver all at the same time. But at that point, you have the music playing and Mike shows up and he calls from the driveway. I'm like, okay, that's a jerk move. Go to the door. Don't just call from the driveway.
Hey, bring your ass on.
I mean, like, that's like, I can't help but thinking back to like high school. Had somebody ever come to the house and honked the horn for me to come out, my dad would have been like, no, you're not allowed to date them. They have to
Right.
come to the door and knock and come
Right.
get you.
Right. You're not property.
Right.
And you're not a dog, so don't respond to the honking.
Right. And then I'm like, how long did it take Mike to realize shit had gone down?
He probably didn't get a good chance to.
And when you go in, why are you not going to announce yourself? All he like what that would have saved his life is him going down the hallway and saying, calling out for Jamie. She'd be like, I'm here, dude. Where are you? Then he wouldn't have gotten his face blown in by a shotgun. And I'm like, did he pull both triggers at the same time? Because that was, I mean, it wasn't point blank. So I don't know. Did you notice what song was playing after that?
Because I'll be honest with you, I watched this one and haven't watched it in a long time. So now, as it's going, across the screen now I'm re-seeing it. So, what song?
Mama Tried.
That's so funny. We play that one in
And
rock band, and I get so tickled that David likes it.
I busted out laughing, and I was actually singing along to it in the movie while the movie was playing. And then at that point, I realized, oh crap, you have traumatized me with these movies.
No, that's just how you're getting more and more accustomed to this type of horror or, suspense, and that you can survive.
And it was almost like that song was added just to bring some light into the movie or to see if anybody was actually paying attention.
I think most directors will sneak some stuff in there, but you got to be careful. You got to do it, at the right moment. And very subtly, because if you go over, then you kind of turn into like a horror comedy. And while those are enjoyable, sometimes you're like, yeah, we get the joke, let's move on.
Mike, it when he's in the hallway, I was like, the dude's right behind him. And then when Jamie shoots him, the dude with the potato sack over his head with some really awkward holes cut out in it is right behind him. And I'm like, at that point, he should have been like, okay, maybe we should just go find another house because this dude's not playing. But nope, he's going to keep on terrorizing and doing all his shit. At that point, they could have just left. The three, let's say, bad guys, they could have just left. They've traumatized these two people. And because of the trauma they've been through, he just killed his best friend. Your job is done.
I mean, they could have, but then they would also have, serial killers get that, not guilt, but they get focused on if they don't complete, the kill, if somebody gets out and survives.
The
So,
whole mission-oriented part.
yeah.
When she's running out the back door and Jamie's gone to the barn, it looks like they used lipstick to write killer on the window.
They might have.
But then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, well, we wrote killer, but are they trying to make him feel bad? Or are they like play on words, like kill her. At that point, I realized I was going way too deep into this movie.
You were completely analyzing it.
I really was. And then my second, like when she's sitting on the back porch, balled up with her head down and barefoot, I'm like, didn't he tell you to find a place and hide there and not come out till he got back? Like,
She's stubborn.
why are we putting ourselves in imminent danger? You can't even see what's coming at you. At that point, I'm like, all right, Kristen, we kind of deserve what's coming to us. I also was in between that whole, are they going to actually do anything to them? Or are they going to just torment them enough to where they're not going to physically harm them? They're going to make them do it to each other.
Yeah.
And like the whole time I was expecting another Mike situation. But then again, I was like, what if they just looked at him and were like, no, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. You're not going to scare me anymore. Just go away. Go find somebody else.
Right.
Would that have happened? Because they were like just out of reach and just taunting them enough and not really doing or saying anything other than popping up randomly and knocking on the door until the axe breaks out, and then you're like, oh shit, they mean business.
Yeah, but with the axe breaking out, you wonder that door looked so sturdy and you think it's so thick, that axe just schwacked right through it. Like, so was this interior of the door hollow? Or do you got the Jolly Green Giant breaking down doors?
He could have been hyped up on PCP.
It's like the Kool-Aid man on meth.
Right. I watched this one after watching another movie, and I'm like, oh, great. We're back to people crawling on the floor to get away from scary guys. Have we not learned this doesn't work? And
You can crawl.
she's crawling through the woods.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
I'm sorry. Get yourself up, pull yourself together, get on your feet and run, because army crawling across the grass is taking too long. And then she gets back in the house and I'm thinking to myself, all right, at this point, I'm just going to sit there, eat that really good looking Mayfield ice cream and wait for them to come to me.
Was it Maybell? I thought it was Bluebell. I thought it was Bluebell ice cream.
Bluebell ice cream. Yeah, sorry. And I'm like, just gonna wait for them to come to me because this ice cream is too good to go to waste. And if I die, I go out, I die eating really good ice cream. And it's been a blast. Then shortly after that, I realize how wrong I am in thinking that they're not gonna do anything to harm them.
Yeah, they gotta get, they gotta finish their mission.
Yeah, and part of me is like, how did anybody know she was in the pantry?
There could have been a blood trail.
And well, yeah, from her feet. That's why she should have had shoes on.
You know what tickles me about the end of the movie is that you've got the three masked people driving away in the truck, and they see these missionaries, and the missionaries wave, and they wave back, and the missionaries wind up going in the house, and they're like, "Holy shit!" I do like the little bit of the jump scare they give you at the end when they're trying to check and see if Liv Tyler's alive or dead, and she, grabs her arm and screams.
Yeah. And my thought process, though, was okay, if these kids are supposed to be Mormon missionaries, number one, they're about 5 years too young. Number two, they don't have the little red tag on their white shirts. And number three, they're not going to be way out in the country like that without an adult. But they also don't carry pamphlets like that. So I don't know if that's the movie was trying to not offend
They were probably
the
just trying to be like a
LDS church.
generic, yeah, probably just trying to be generic and not get sued.
But then did you notice when they drive off in the truck, the one girl says to the other, it'll be easier next time?
Yes. And there is a sequel to this movie.
Oh,
It's
gosh.
called Strangers Pray at Night, I believe. You could look it up and watch that on your own if you want to. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's awful. And there is a new sequel supposed to be coming out to this year, or it's being made this year, one of those, because we're already here in December. But it's supposed to be coming, this third installment.
Yeah, either way, Mr. Hottie McHottie Pants is not in it, so I probably won't be watching.
I mean, he may come back in flashbacks.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he was dead.
Him dead. Like, what is that Roach Bomb stuff? Raid.
Yeah, and I will admit, I jumped. I did not expect her to still be alive.
Right. Yeah, the movie kind of builds it up, and you see them driving off, so they're happy and pleased
Right, like
with
their mission has been
pleading.
accomplished. They're
Right.
all dead. How did they not know sh notice that she was like, was she intentionally playing dead or was she unconscious when they left?
Right. Which you kind of get the a little bit where she is trying to play dead, but she's also probably hanging on by a fucking string.
Right. And then, the 911 call you hear from the boys, there's not a lot of information given out. Like, they're so traumatized, they can't even get out that somebody needs help.
And you feel bad for them, but at the same time, you're grateful or you feel good because, now Liv Tyler is the final girl and they're going to get her some help.
Right. Not everybody was going to be sacrificed at the altar of the three masked people who were
Right.
wearing a mask, and she didn't know what type of fucking mask it was.
For this movie, the budget was $9 million. At the box office, it made $82 million.
Wow.
Yeah, which is why this one got a sequel and probably why it's getting another installment soon. The audience gave this movie a 49%. So you had, some that liked it, some that didn't.
Yeah.
The Metacritic score kind of, finally kind of mirrors the audience. It's 47. So it's not like people absolutely loved this movie or absolutely hated it. They're like, it's all right. This was a movie that I had said I was never going to watch again because this one did give me some nightmares. And then I'm already paranoid about doors being locked, windows being locked, what have you. But I also do not enter a room unless A, the light's on, or B, I'm right at the light switch and I'm turning it on. I don't go into a dark room.
Nope. Could be while we're still alive.
It could be. Plus, also, I think we have the due diligence. Something's jacked up or going on. We're going to call 911.
Or get out of
And yes, I was about to say, and get the fuck out.
there. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't know, because there was that one time we were pushed to the limit and it didn't happen.
We tried. It's your fault. Any final thoughts for this movie?
Looking at this movie, it didn't focus so much on the killers as much as it focused on the will to survive and the victims. And I liked that part because sometimes I feel like the people that are the serial killers get all the attention and they're wanting the attention. But
Right, they
this time
feed off that.
it gave all the attention to Kristen and Mr. Hottie McHottie Pants.
Would you watch this again?
Maybe.
Would you recommend this to anybody?
I might. The people I know that do like scary movies that maybe haven't seen it, I would have said, well, if you need a real psychological thriller, here's one that's relatively recent.
I am slowly converting you to a horror fan. Slowly.
No,
Slowly.
no. No, I
Slowly.
mean,
You
right
got
now
toes dipped in now.
No, I I want to be able to watch all these horror movies, but I'm convinced there are some that will just do me in.
And we have yet to find them. You've survived every one so far.
Barely.
Any plugs that you want to make?
I really can't wait for people to find out what's coming up. So maybe they should stick around for our next podcast.
And hopefully that'll be coming up soon. So from us here at Scare My Best Friend to Death, thanks for listening. You can find me also on the House That Screams podcast. You can find Scare My Best Friend to Death on all podcast platforms. You can go to our website, scaremybff.com. You can also find us on Instagram. That is the only social media that we're on, is Instagram. And you can also visit our Buy Me a Coffee and drop a singular donation if you'd like us to continue and help keep the lights on. Or you could join a membership. We have three different tiers. They all offer you access to the episodes before they're released to the public. And with our largest tier, you get to choose three episodes a year for us to do. And I'm quite scared of that because not only would people be challenging Katie, you're going to then be challenging me. So a little bit scared of that, but it's there if you like us and would like to challenge us. So from us here at Scare My Best Friend to Death, deuces.
Bye, y'all.